I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, don't you? If I really, really would, but you're dimming in my head. It's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information. Ask me for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. This is Dave Hodges, your host, and we're really pleased to be with you this evening. We have a great lineup of guests. Doug Hagman will be joining me in just a few moments, and we'll be checking out what is in Doug's wheelhouse over there at the Hagman & Hagman Report, which can be heard on this great network, Global Star Radio Network, every Monday through Friday from 4... What was that? No, I was going to give the Pacific time. I apologize for that. 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. In second hour, we'll be joined by Bob Griswold, and ho, ho, ho. He called me this afternoon, and we had agreed to talk on some things, and he added to our bucket list, and oh my goodness, folks, I'm telling you, I'm not even going to give it away. It is stunning and startling. And in the third hour, I did a pre-record with Ronnie McMullen, post-election fallout, and will Trump actually assume the oath of office? Fascinating discussion with his former talk show host. And then in the last 30 minutes, we really have a great surprise for you. I'm so pleased and proud to be bringing this particular guest to us. He hasn't been with me probably in 6 years, and I'm talking about G. Edgar Griffin. Yep, the legendary G. Edgar Griffin will be joining us in the last half hour. So pleased to have him. Pleased to have all of our guests. Anyway, we are brought to you by Renaissance Press. Turning soon-to-be worthless cash into great investment. And this economy, you don't think they're going to bring down the economy? They control of what's going on. If Soros' followers can't overthrow this country, if we don't break up with all these political actions like Calexit, La Raza, the breakup, you know, Diazalon, Reconquistador. Hey, I'm coming out with an article tomorrow where I talk about five different maps, and these breakups are being planned simultaneously as we talk about, let's not forget the UN map, too. And I'll throw that out to Doug for his viewpoint. But anyway, listen, Steve can take care of you. He'll take that money, and you'll weather the storm with regard to your finances. And give Steve a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. That's 406-586-4842. Also want to remind everybody that when the banks go down, economy comes to a standstill, food's not going to be moving either. Don't let yourself become a victim. Protect your family. Numana Foods is who I represent. Pleased and proud to be with them. Daniel Brigman does an outstanding job. Go to our website. Check us out. Best prices, best selection. Go to numana.com/Hodges. And for a short time still, we have that 5% off sale. 5% off sale is coupon code Hodges, H-O-D-G-E-S, Hodges, N-O-V-5. And one final item, and it's something I'm sure that Doug and I will be getting into to some degree. As you know, Facebook, Google, and now it looks like Twitter has joined in. They have declared war on the truth. And we are looking for alternatives. And my good friend Mike Adams, goodgopher.com, he's calling for a boycott. Oh, what a great article he wrote on the Common Sense Show. It's in the carousel, top 10. You can go in and look at it. He lists CNN's top sponsors, how to contact the sponsors, and he wants a boycott. And I could not agree with him more on that particular aspect. But don't use Google. Use goodgopher.com, and you can do mainstream search or you can do independent media search. He has two different ways to go on that. It's tremendous. And by the way, this is not a paid advertisement. This is just me telling you that we have options. Now, scene.life, growing like a son of a gun. I cannot believe the growth. And I don't have the latest figures, but we got to be over 200,000 now. Seen.life, S-E-E-N dot life. And by the way, Facebook came out with a 7-point plan today to subjugate the internet. And they're going to keep you off. They're going to have their third-party fact-checkers. Oh, you know, Wolf Blitzer's friends. Yeah, you got it. I mean, it's just an excuse to control the market. And we don't have to take it. Take your social media needs, go to seeing.life. And so those are things that I really feel that are important that we need to pay attention to. And by the way, the last two I mentioned are not sponsors of this show. It's just something that I firmly believe in, and we need to take control of our destiny because their ratings are in the toilet, and 60% of people under the age of 45 get their news from digital sources that we dominate in the independent media. Let's drive them into the ground. Doug Hagman, thanks for joining us, my friend. I'm certainly glad you could be here. There is so much to talk about. We better talk real fast.
Hey, brother. Thanks for having me. And it's always good to team up with a fellow deplorable and not only are you a fellow deplorable, but I do suspect a purveyor of fake news as well. So it's all good.
And proud of it.
Yes. You know, before we get started, can I ask you something, or can I mention something? Because I don't know if you, and pardon me if I'm speaking out of school, did we talk on air about the Electoral College? Do you know where I'm going with this?
Gosh, I've had so many discussions, Doug.
Okay.
I mentioned on shows you've been on that they're getting threatened and attempted bribery,
yes.
And yeah, we...
Yep. Yes. Yeah, okay. The reason I brought this up is something really, really weird happened to me last week. I ended up talking to three members of the Electoral College, never setting out to talk to any of them. It just so happened that I ended up talking with three of them. One from Texas, two from New York, and one from Pennsylvania. And to the person, they had told me, in fact, I've got in front of me emails that they have received. And the emails, I'm going to say the majority appear to be templates. Others appear to be have similar language, but all from requesting to demanding a vote against Trump at the Electoral College Assembly on December 19th. And the reason I bring this up is because this is very consistent with your findings. And I don't want to speak out of school, but with respect to the people you've spoken to, person or people, with respect to bribery and other shenanigans within the Electoral College. But I found this very interesting and certainly consistent with what you said. And if I can just take this one step further, do you mind or should I be quiet?
No, please, go ahead.
Okay. You know, it's interesting because I've gotten a lot of emails. I did a video on this, it's an 8-minute video, Friday, and it's on... if you go to Hagman and Hagman.com or HagmanReport.com, you can click on the video. I'm sorry, HagmanReport.com, you can click on the video. But having said that, Trump has officially 290 electoral votes compared to Clinton's 232. Now, there are 538 members of the Electoral College. If you take the 290 and 232, you add those up, it comes out to 522. We're missing 16 who are supposedly undecided at this point. The reason this is important is because people, and I believe this to be true, people say, look, it's not even a probability. It's certainly not a probability that you're going to have this coup within the Electoral College where the electors are going to go off the reservation and vote for Hillary Clinton. That's not the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is this. They are going after the members of the Electoral College in such a way where the electorates I've spoken to have said it was bad in 2000 with Bush and Gore. This time it's multiples worse with Clinton and Trump. And the number, emails, the threats, the attempts of bribery, the harassment in general, not coming just from the United States, but countries like Australia, from the UK, from Canada, from other countries foreign to the United States, of course. This is a full-court press by the globalists to harass the heck out of the Electoral College. And, you know, look, even though it may not work, there are people calling for the disbanding the Electoral College. I just want really, I just, well, the one individual I spoke to said, look, please, if you do nothing else, let the people know that we are under attack. And it's harassment. You know, it's not a physical attack, but nonetheless, let the people know what's going on behind the scenes. So I thought I'd do that and just verify, as if you really needed validation, the fact that these things are happening behind the scenes, that this is, to them, this is not over. And I think that there's a real problem here, but certainly I've got the, again, I've got the emails, I've got the verbose headers that show that this is a globalist agenda as opposed to just something taking place here in the United States. And I just want to get that in before we moved on to anything else.
Well, I you're right on the money. I interviewed Ken Clark, who's an elector from Texas in the Republican Party, and I interviewed him prior to the election, but he also shared with me what you just said about the Gore-Bush election and the intense pressure he got. But he did tell me he wasn't offered any inducements, but he was not as optimistic about how this was going to go in this particular cycle. And he said prior to the vote, he expected the pressure to step up exponentially. Now, here in Arizona, you know, Doug, just to review what I may have said, and be honest, I've had so many conversations on this, I don't recall if I said this again, so forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but I have a contact in Republican politics, and I'm not going to go any further than that for obvious reasons, but they are friends with one of the electors who actually received a bona fide bribe, offshore money, untraceable, set up through a shell corporation, have to spend the money outside the country were some of the details. But more importantly than the bribe offer was the fact of a feeling in a tone that was threatening if you didn't go along with this. And I asked, were they threatened? And my third party said no, but they felt threatened, very threatened.
There it is. Yep.
Which is
yep.
why they
You're
wanted
right.
this to brought to me. And Doug, I will tell you one other thing that I have discovered in the last 24 hours, and I'm still running this down. There are other electors in Arizona who are speaking privately to other people. And I actually saw something on the internet on this, and it matched what I was told personally, but I don't have details. I have the details of, let's say, the bribery situation. I have quite a few details. And to think that they're not the other side, you know, the Soros and friends are not going to go after these people. And these are just regular people. They're people that are doing a civic duty, a political duty. It's an elected position. And they don't have bodyguards or Secret Service, Doug. These people are going to feel immense intimidation.
You know, you're exactly right. Dave, do you know, are the list of names published in some sort of federal register somewhere? Or how, or are, I mean, I know it's not secret, but if you attempt to find, for example, just to search for the identities of the members of the Electoral College in 2016, it's not, I mean, you can find them, but it's not that easy. It's not, it doesn't come up very, very readily in a search engine. You know what I'm saying? So, they're not hidden necessarily, but how are these globalists, people outside of the United States, finding the identities of these members of the Electoral College?
Well, I think they're publicly available, and I have to confess I have not pursued that particular avenue. And I should probably backtrack through one of my sources who is an elector, and I'll ask that person, but I don't know the answer at this present moment. How you find it? I did see something, I think it was even sent to me in an email, if I don't remember right. It was an attachment that included nine names of Republican electors around the country that announced that they're going to go rogue and vote for Clinton.
Wow.
And I can backtrack through that source, too. But I just have to say, Doug, I'll be honest with you. I'm so focused on these breakup plans for the United States, and I mean bona fide leaving the country, and in some cases joining another country, and this is getting legs. This is not something that's theoretical or hypothetical. It is underway as we speak as far as posturing. I've been so focused on that in the last few days that I've kind of left the post-election stuff out and thought I would come back to it later, which is why I'm not really up on the electors as I should be.
Well, no worries. For full disclosure, I should say that out of the four members of the Electoral College, Mr. Clark was one of the four who provided me with the emails as well as the information, although just very consistent with what you said. He was not threatened at all. You know, he was just being harassed via emails. But anyway, the breakup of the United States. You've been doing tremendous work, by the way, on this. Do you see this? I mean, obviously, you see this as a imminent threat, I suppose. How is this going to be accomplished, if you don't mind me kind of asking you that
There's
question?
Such a media blackout on this, Doug, that I've had to go to root sources and get factual details. I know the most about the CalExit deal, mostly from Paul Preston, who I interviewed in one of my podcasts on our YouTube channel. And he's done the best research of anybody in the country on this. And he knocked my socks off. And I went and did some fact-checking and fact-finding after our interview. And sure enough, he's right. Jerry Brown, in part, is being bankrolled by the Bank of China. And the purpose is to CalExit, like Brexit, only it's California leave.
Sure.
He wants to become Sam Houston. Remember Sam Houston, the head of the Texas Republic prior to joining the Union? This is what Jerry Brown wants. And he, if he can't get his way, he has imported terrorists into the north central region of California, and I'm talking Al Qaeda. This is very serious stuff. They're getting help from the Chinese that'll shut off food supplies and put California in absolute chaos. And they're going to use the inland ports where we know the Chinese already have a presence, and I've reported on that going back years. And then you've got a simultaneous situation in California, in the northern counties and also the southern counties of Oregon. I believe it's 17 counties in total in both states that have formed the state of Jefferson. And this has the support of their elected local officials. And Paul told me, he said, Dave, this is going to happen in a year unless something, you know, circumvents this and precludes it because it's a bigger event. That's just two of the things I found. Doug, I could talk literally for a half hour just on this topic. This is really, really serious. Let me just mention one more thing. I wrote an article last week, and it was both on my website and up on Steve Quayle's, and it was about predictive programming. And I went through the last ship on TNT, TV show, popular show, the new show with Kiefer Sutherland, you know, Jack Bauer from 24, and the show is called Designated Survivor. And then finally, I did a review of the old show that ended in 2014 because they were exposing FEMA camps. That was called Revolution. And all of them are marked by two similarities. Their themes are identical. One, there's a massive kill-off of senior federal officials. Two, the United States no longer exists. It's broken up into sub-republics. And this is precisely what I'm finding in these plans. The predictive programming is calling it just as it's unraveling.
Wow. What?
Sorry for the long answer.
No, I feel like if you don't mind, I feel like I want to interview you on this because you're very far ahead of the curve. Will this be more of a civil war type? Well, you think back to the revolution, you know, our breakaway from the UK. Is that kind of a scenario that are we looking at that, or is it going to be a civil war kind of thing, or will it be, in your estimation, a political split that will be accepted, you know, within the halls
Well, if you want to talk about La Raza, I mean, there's not a more militant group inside the United States than La Raza. And yes, I'm a supporter of everyone's constitutional rights, but La Raza goes way beyond that. They're advocating for treason. You know, leaving the Union is treason. Overthrowing
right.
senior government officials in the Southwest, that's treason. Kicking white Europeans out is treason. And yes, we're reading this in their literature. I'm not making this up. Now, do I think Hispanics and Latinos in bulk feel this way? No, I think most of them, the vast majority, feel just the opposite. You know, human beings inherently don't carry these hatreds around. It's a small minority. But as we know, it only takes a small minority to upset the apple cart. I do think this could be promoted by the Soros figures using rules for radicals to turn this into a nightmare situation. You've got the drug cartels here in the Southwest, and I know all about this living there. We, in combination with the drug cartels, and I know it from law enforcement I've talked to, from DEA and border officials I've talked to, Doug, they're in cahoots with terrorists. And I'm talking Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda.
Sure.
And we know
yep.
that Jerry Brown is using these forces in California. This could get really ugly. Now, human beings want the path of least resistance. In other words, they would like to take over without firing a shot. That would be optimal. I'm not optimistic that if it gets this far, that this is not going to be without widespread violence. Do you remember Bleeding Kansas before the Civil War, and they were trying to decide the slavery issue, and they were at each other's throats, and
My
it was
goodness.
Just a horrible
yep.
place to be? This
yep.
is going to be the United States.
Well, and I think we see this, too, with Obama in particular, engaging in what I believe to be very divisive behavior. Some say he's taking the high road with Trump. He's actually been very gracious in the upcoming change of power, the transition of power. But what I'm seeing here behind the scenes is he's working with Soros, or at least accommodating Soros, as they funnel money and assets into these groups here in America, 12 cities across America plus. And this will culminate, I believe, in D.C. at the inauguration, or at least that's the attempt. And if it doesn't work out there, it doesn't matter, because it's the divisiveness is going to continue in the first 100 days of Trump's it's going to continue throughout Trump's reign of as president. However, not only do they want to cut that short, they want to certainly divide this country. As my source said back in 2012 and 2011, they want a civil war. They want to exploit the racial divide. They want to exploit the economic divide. They want to do everything in their power to get neighbor to turn on neighbor, and even family member on family member. And that's what they're working towards. So if they can, what you're saying, and I can see how they could make this a little bit more precise in the Southwest, perhaps, or the entire West Coast, to take this and say, look, you know, we are going to break away or establish our own country, or whatever the terminology might be. The result is the same, and I think that's. And you wrote a great article about. You wrote many great articles about this, but certainly the much like Brexit, much like there are a lot of cases that would mirror this whole process. So I think we're in for a really rough time. And by the way, I've got this on good authority. Of course, the globalists want to stack the deck against Trump. They're going to attempt to block everything he does. And in fact, impeachment in the first 100 days, or as soon as possible, based on whatever reason they can come up with. I mean, this is crazy. The hatred, the vitriol behind these progressives. That it's mind blowing.
Well, basically, when you look at Google, Facebook, Soros, they've drawn a line in the sand. They're saying, we don't care about the rule of law. We don't care about the election results since we lost. And if you want to try to restore law and order to this country, America first kind of deal, you're going to have to kill us. to me, that's what they're saying. They've drawn a line in the sand, and they're saying, we're going to kill you. If you get in our way, you're going to have to kill us to stop it. Now, let me preface it by saying, or I should say after the fact, say, I don't advocate for violence, but I do advocate for self-defense. And because I say this is where the trend curve is going, I don't necessarily endorse this. But, Doug, I don't see any way out. There is going to be a widespread revolution in this country that's going to make the Viet Cong and the loyal South Vietnamese people, you know, that fought each other. They didn't just fight Americans. They fought each other. That's going to look calm in comparison to what's coming. And let's not forget about all the terror cells we have in our country that can exacerbate any conflict.
Well, you know, that's right. And this, what you're saying, too, is shown, it's illustrated by the by Obama's decision to cease aerial surveillance on the southern border. The Border Patrol, what are they? They're grabbing, nabbing 500 illegals per day.
Yeah.
Just in one specific area. I mean, it's, the gates are wide open for these illegals to pour into the country, and the federal government is not doing their job. I mean, the Border Patrol, ICE, they've been given stand down orders. This is Obama's parting shot, I think, it's kind of a scorched earth policy. Perhaps that's borrowing that from Michael Savage's his new book, but the bottom line here is it does appear that this is all going to, the last 60 days is just going to be nothing more than, let's see how much of America we can ruin. What, 527 pages were added to the Federal Register last week, one day. You know, you've got all of this stuff taking place behind the scenes, and of course you've got this very gracious appearing Obama sitting in the White House with Trump saying that the transition of power will be smooth, while he's you know, behind him, he's leaving a trail of destruction. And it's so I would say, indeed, what you're hearing and what you're reporting on, well, it is consistent with the actions inside the Beltway.
Doug, I feel like compared to myself in the past, I'm too old to fight, too fat to run. It's not like I'm in awful shape. I mean, I still do some things athletically, but I'm not 20 years old anymore. I'm not ready for this. I don't want this to happen. So people need to take this in context. It's going to happen.
Well, brother, I'm good for the first 30 seconds. After that, I'm going to have to, you know, fight from a recliner with a 45. Because, you know, yeah, we're getting older. And it's the, you know, how many of us in the older generation really have the values, the Western values, the Christian values? And what do we, you know, I mean, those are the values that are under attack. So, brother, I know what you mean, and you know, failure is not an option in this case. And I think we're seeing history being made every day in this country, and I do believe that we're seeing a coup and a counter coup take place that's really not being reported on. It's kind of under the surface. I just saw a report where the intelligence services, they're in this meltdown mode over leadership as Trump picks you know, his person for the directorship of the DNI position, as well as the CIA and the FBI. So it's just crazy. I mean, the entire earth here, the geopolitical landscape in the United States, as well as internationally, is kind of on a moving quicksand kind of scenario, I think. And it's, I don't know, man. I don't see any way out either. I do think that it's going to be, we better be prepared to fight, because it's coming.
Yeah, I'm articulating what I know, and I stop myself in mid-sentence, and it's like I go into a mind fog because I can barely believe it's happening. But I think it's not going to be long until we see a redrawing of the map, You know, it's amazing in California, and we got a lot of listeners in California. How the hell did you let Jerry Brown get beyond the term limits? I mean, Arnold had to leave. Now Jerry comes back, and he's in violation of the term limits. I mean, there's not, you know, if you want to talk about criminality, you know, Hillary Clinton was a global criminal. This guy's a regional criminal, but Hillary Clinton has nothing on Jerry Brown. He's as dirty of an SOB as you'll ever find. And I'm going to put my sights on Governor Brown here over the next couple of weeks and expose some of the things that I have found out. And by the way, Governor Brown, I do have a dead man switch. People do have a lot of that information I've already put out to them. So it's going to come out in one form or another. But Doug, I've never felt so empowered from a knowledge standpoint. And also Trump won. Let's not forget that. But from the other standpoint, these people are willing to destroy their own country to keep us from getting what we want. They have lost, but now they want to destroy us and our way of life because they didn't win.
You know, isn't that amazing? Because one of your articles on your website at thecommonsenseshow.com is talking about liberalism, you know, being a mental disorder, of course, and getting into that whole psyche of liberalism. What I'm saying, too, consistent with what you're reporting, is you got guys like Jerry Brown, as you mentioned. The guy's, what, 78 years old? He's the power, the globalists in power, I think are they're attempting to maintain their death grip on the power that they've had for so long in this country. And I mean, I think that they feel sucker punched by the election, that they didn't believe this would happen. Although I do suspect that maybe 48 to 72 hours before the actual election day, there was that impending sense that, look, Hillary is a done deal, despite the publicized polls. So they pulled their support from Hillary Clinton, and they decided to redirect their efforts, and I believe that their efforts are into this chaos, this orchestrated chaos that we're about to see. But you get people like Brown, you get people like Soros and Kissinger and all the globalists who are way up there in age, even older than you and I, Dave, thankfully, at this point.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, really. But nonetheless, I think that this is their last, in my view anyway, this is their last shot. They know that if they don't do something right now, everything that they've worked for over the last four decades or longer, five decades, is, well, since day one, I guess, but more recently in modern history, over the last four decades, they're about to lose everything. So I think that their rules, they've loosened up the rules a little bit, as if they had any anyway, and are just pulling out all the stops and doing the unthinkable. You know, so that's kind of... So, I agree with you on this. So, I mean, there's... And I do believe right now that we are in the most dangerous period in American history. And I think that we can see that through the unrest that's being fomented by the very same people we're talking about.
Well, the difference between now and the Civil War is there was blue and there was gray. There was North, there was South. There was states' rights versus collectivism. There was haves and only a few haves in the South. The lines were so clear. Here, it's a jungle. It's, you can get attacked from any direction by anybody, and you won't even see it coming.
Sadly, even your neighbor, or even a member of your own family in this case, you know, in many cases, I'm sorry. I do believe that the ideologies behind this second American Revolution, as I'll call it, are so great, and the stakes are so high to many people, because many people look at this, you know, the reactions of the people, post-election reactions, the viral videos of these people just going crazy, crying and sobbing and acting like lunatics. although they represent a very small minority of the Clinton supporters, I think that psyche is pervasive throughout this anti-Trump movement or anti-American movement, this globalist movement. Half the people don't even, most of the people don't even realize what they're crying about or what they're fighting for or fighting against, whichever their perspective might be. They're just useless idiots in this very well orchestrated Plan B of the globalists, and I think that's what we're seeing is this Plan B, and that Plan B does include, as you mentioned early on, economic collapse. I think that's probably where we're most, the economic collapse, I think, is perhaps the way that they would, make this happen. I think to the extent that they could take down the dollar. So the economy, yeah, I believe that to be the case. That's number one. Number two, just the civil, the racial, religious, and social divide. They will exploit that as well. But I think the dollar collapse will probably be the seed or the dry tinder that'll be used to be used as a mechanism to take this country down.
Well, I think you're totally 100% right on the money with that. I would add another word in there. What I'm seeing from the so-called Democratic Party is not sore loser politics. This is a jihad going on. And should we be surprised, given the fact that Barack Obama, and I've documented this 9 times Sunday, how many people he brought in, not just of Muslim background, which doesn't concern me, but Muslim background with connections, direct connections to Hezbollah, Hamas, the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda. The only thing that hasn't been outwardly displayed by Obama's appointees is ISIS. But I don't think good old Huma Abedin is very far from ISIS from what I've read. Doug, this is craziness, but the Democratic Party and what they're doing in our cities, that is a jihad movement. Let's call it what it is.
Well, even what I found equally disturbing, excuse me, is the fact that the Democratic Party, to perhaps appoint or elect the have as their leader Keith Ellison, a member, a Muslim. The optics alone, if they would do that, should they choose to do that, the optics alone could be very potentially bad for the Democratic Party. But that's, to me, that just shows the hubris or the attitude. Look, we don't care. We are going to implement our policies. But going back to what you said about ISIS, I truly believe that the link in this chain, the Obama globalist chain, and the overlap into the Muslim Brotherhood and ISIS is Huma Abedin. And I believe out of the 650,000 plus emails that were found on Anthony Weiner's computer, I do believe that there is documentation that would certainly implicate, in my view anyway, Huma Abedin, because we know how close she is to her mother and to her sister or brother, and they are tools of the Muslim sisterhood. So there's got to be, in my view anyway, there's got to be evidence there that would suggest that documents, intelligence, classified information was exchanged from the State Department, from Clinton, via Huma to their handlers. And look at, my goodness, look at Obama, how, and even to an equal extent, perhaps a little bit less, George W. Bush, how they have bowed down to the King of Saudi Arabia. And look at overseas, too. I mean, the Syrian aspect, the Syrian problem, what happened in Libya. All of this, even McCain. And you know what? I found and published a picture this week. And I haven't posted it yet, but I don't know whether you've seen this, but I found a picture that I don't think was circulated or published in many publications. I could be wrong. I haven't done a reverse search on the image, but of McCain and Chris Stevens in front of the courthouse in Benghazi. Walking, you know, John McCain and Chris Stevens walking together in front of the Benghazi courthouse months before Benghazi was attacked in September of 2012. So, you know, the bipartisan selling out of this country is, to me, an extremely serious crime, or extremely serious. And I think that we are right now in a, well, what would you call it? The last gasp or last attempt, last orchestration, last quarter of the football game here, where this full court press with ISIS, with the economy, with the other manners to exploit the divide, coming to be, coming to pass.
Well, I wrote an article that came out today, Doug, that just parallels what you just said. But I did the comparison with JFK. I went through the standard reasons we all know: oil, the military-industrial complex, the Federal Reserve. These all interlocked interests, and why they wanted JFK out of the way. And I looked at the things that Trump is talking about, and although they're not 100% identical in verbiage, they attack the same people at the same strata. And this is why I'm not optimistic that Trump is even going to make it to Inauguration Day without divine intervention and our prayers behind it.
You know, I saw exactly what you're talking about, your article, and I've got to say, I found it very interesting because right after reviewing that article on one of the cable channels, it was, I think, American Heroes channel, or I'm not sure which one, there was a documentary about JFK and about his leadership style. It was one of the most unusual documentaries I've ever seen, but how he handled the Bay of Pigs and Castro and Khrushchev, and how he angered those within the establishment at that time, and then of course the speeches he gave, and how he kind of broke from the globalist agenda, the globalist mold, even the democratic mold at the time, to anger. Well, that was the result, to anger the military, the U.S. military people. It was just an amazing. There was an amazing comparison there. So other people are making that comparison, even in the documentaries that have been that are being broadcast and rebroadcast on cable channels. So I think that there's some pre-programming kind of coming into play here. But that was a very good, by the way, very good pickup on the comparison, in my view, in your writings and your reports.
Well, I didn't want to write it. But compare what I asked the reader to do, and don't go there now, go there after the show, please. But what I asked the reader to do was substitute Trump for JFK in print. So I would write some things about JFK that we know is historically accurate, and I said substitute Trump, and then I said substitute Syria for Vietnam.
Exactly.
Substitute Ukraine for Cuba. And when I did that, and I was reading it last night at about 1 in the morning, and Doug, I had an aha moment. I mean, it just, the chills went through my body. I didn't know that I was going to publish this because, you know, very few people give a darn about the Kennedy assassination any longer. We're past the 50th anniversary. You know, there was no great rebirth, revival, and interest. The mainstream media continues to vilify him and promote the myth that Oswald did the shooting, even though the second government investigation showed the opposite. Doug, I got to tell you, when I came up with these facts, I was like, oh my God, they are going to kill him. And this is why I, in the article, I called out to the readers to keep Donald Trump in prayer, because I think it's a fait accompli. This is why they're letting all these things come out. You're right about the predictive programming, but they don't care what we know now because they're going for the jugular.
I agree. You know, I think a lot of this has been planned. The planning of the takeover, I don't think they leave much to chance, if anything, of course. I'm certain that the globalists planned for a Trump win, in theory, on paper. You know, what if Trump happens to, you know, by some phenomenal thing, wins, for example? And I'm sure that the globalists have plans for that. And one would be certainly the taking out, and I'm talking about the assassination, or taking out Trump permanently. And that would leave us with perhaps with a Pence, Mike Pence leadership position. How would that compare, in your analysis, with the Johnson as vice president and then president with respect to the assassination? How would Pence compare to Johnson as Trump would compare to Kennedy?
Well, Doug, in my opinion, they've carried out this script twice before. The first was J. Edgar Hoover blackmailing the Kennedys into taking LBJ, as witnessed by Kennedy's secretary, who was in the room. And she's been interviewed. She was interviewed on A&E when they did the series The Men Who Killed Kennedy. And then they did it again as a fail-safe with Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan came out, and I've talked about this with Patrick Wood, who wrote the book Trilaterals Over Washington. And Reagan came out in 1980 in the campaign and said, well, Bush is in the Trilateral Commission. Why would you vote for him? And 2 days later, it was announced he was the running mate, and they basically said, you're going to take him or else. And, of course, they tried to shoot, they did shoot Reagan, they tried to kill him, and they killed Kennedy, and the number twos came in. And you know, really, Doug, you open up a can of worms here, because if you go back to LBJ, Kennedy was going to have us totally out of Vietnam, you know, within a little over a year. 1965, he was going to bring home all the combat advisors. He was having back-channel talks with Norman Cousins, with Khrushchev, about nuclear disarmament, or certainly not doing above-ground testing. And he sent a French reporter, and his name escapes me now, he's talking to Castro at the exact moment that he was assassinated. And when you looked at that, what changed when he was killed? Well, 9 months later, we got the phony Gulf of Tonkin and 100,000 ground troops initially sent to South Vietnam. You had the single biggest increase in nuclear arms production in our history, and the Federal Reserve got rid of the C note that was threatening them, that was a Kennedy creation. Everything changed, and then Reagan really calmed down after he got shot. And, you know, if you have, I never liked the appointment of Pence, the selection of him to vice president. He's for Obamacare. He's for the free trade agreements. And I think the globalists are going to employ this script for the third time.
Well, you know, you called that selection of Pence out initially. And I think, you know, the globalists do things for a reason. I do believe that Donald Trump had alternatives, but he was, you know, I mean, I look at this and I do realize that in order to assume the presidency, I do believe that there has to be some level, high level of approval by the unseen forces, if you will, the people who are really running the planet, the families who are running the planet, the unseen power structure. So perhaps Pence was that. Look, you're going to take Pence, just exactly like Kennedy had to take Johnson, and of course Reagan had to take Bush. And it's interesting. I mean, Kennedy had what he was in his third year of his presidency. Reagan was beginning his third month, I believe, at the time of his the attempted assassination on Reagan. I wonder if Trump would even get past the three weeks mark, given the fact that we've already seen and we're being conditioned for this hostility, this anti-Trump hostility. I mean, even at that recent, or the Broadway show this past weekend.
Oh, Hamilton's?
We're seeing this vitriol. You know, so I think we're being conditioned for this violence. And, you know, of course, wouldn't that be something if that did happen? How fast would an anti-Second Amendment agenda be employed? And even perhaps backed by some people who are, on the right side of the Second Amendment debate as if there should be a debate anyway. So I think we have to think outside of the box on all of these possibilities. And yes, we need to pray for the safety of Donald Trump, because I do believe that, it's very possible given the level of hatred among the population against this man. I mean, it goes beyond hatred. I mean, look at the calls for assassination on Twitter, and they allow this. It's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, but and then Twitter is going to turn around and ban people like you and I from expressing our conservative political views. Yeah, I mean, where's the disconnect there?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I saw the article you wrote on your website. I was asking the same question about myself and about you and about others. Why? Not that we want to get censored, banned, or whatever from social media or from the landscape of the internet. But my question too was, aren't we doing a good enough job outing these globalists? We don't warrant any kind of censorship or ban. Not that I want any. But have we failed?
You know why I think that's true?
In my mind, I'm thinking, you know, so...
the triumvirate of Quayle, Hagman, and Hodges were not on the list.
Right.
And here's what I think their goal is. This will cause division in the ranks and will be accused of being disinfo agents.
Which is happening to Alex Jones, for example. You know, why is he still on, of course? And what I've seen with InfoWars, and even to a lesser extent, obviously, with me and you, there's that accusation, well, you're Jesuits, you're controlled by the Jesuits, so you're disinformation agents, which they're attacking our credibility by not focusing the attention on us. Again, I don't have this this martyrdom wish, but I do have questions whether or not we're being effective enough. We're being offensive enough. And when I say offensive, I'm not talking about offending people just for the sake of offending people. I'm talking about bringing the truth out there, because, well, obviously, the truth is the enemy of the agenda of the globalists. So, very interesting column that you wrote, by the way. And it resonated with me. And I had to really sit down and think about that as well.
What are you getting for false flag terror threats, Doug? Are you getting anything on that line?
You know, I've talked to a couple of people within the Beltway, inside the intelligence communities. I've also talked to some NYPD sources, in fact, about other matters relative to the sex perversity that we've seen here of late. But with respect to the terrorists, the threats, expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. Much of what you have said in the past about coordinated attacks, timed attacks, lone wolf attacks, even attacks blamed on right-wing radicals, instead of these, perhaps these, you know, big let's attack the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade kind of stuff, the lesser, kind of like death by a thousand cuts, if you will. That's what they're preparing for. Of course, they're always preparing for the big one, but they're expecting the smaller ones, or they're being told to expect the unexpected.
You know, with regard to throwing California into chaos and choking food off at the inland ports, where so much of the commerce in the central area, Sacramento of area of California, Doug, are you aware that there are Chinese troops there in great numbers?
You know, I've heard that, and I've been following your documentation of this. You know what? I'm not 100% sure on the numbers, except again from what the intelligence I received from you and some of, we've got a couple, not many, but a couple of the same sources, or at least sources from the same agencies. So, yeah, I mean, I'm aware of it, but I'm not sure I understand the enormity of it or potential enormity of it.
What I've been told is that these, I forget the name of the group, the Chinese solar energy firm, for lack of a better term, it's a front group, and it's really run by the Chinese military, and every one of their employees are trained Chinese soldiers. And that came out during the first Bundy Ranch affair.
Yes, yes. And how, see, that to me, and this is making a lot more sense today than perhaps a year ago with me, as you and I have spoken, and you know, I've read your reports and everything. It would be much easier for a softened America, for a divided and conquered, well, a divided America anyway, to be conquered by foreign entities, foreign troops, Russia, China, once the dollar is destroyed, once people are fighting amongst themselves, so they can come right in here and just do a number on us. And if they have assets prepositioned, which they do, based on the documentation you've provided, how much, I mean, that's half the battle right there.
Well, they wouldn't even need to have an overwhelming numerical force if they occupy key checkpoints. I mean, you look at military strategy, case in point, the Normandy D-Day invasions. We dropped paratroopers in just after midnight, you know, 5.5 hours prior to the land invasion. And their job was to secure bridges, make sure that they weren't blown up so the Allies could advance quickly inland and get off the beach. To me, that's the strategy that's going to be employed in these inland ports. And by the way, they're not just in California. They're all through the country. I think the biggest one is in Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken.
You know, I've heard that as well. And I think we've got precedent for this. Look at the infiltration back during World War II. We had, in fact, there were a couple of incidents, but one of the more famous ones or well-known ones is where the submarine, the men from the submarine came ashore on the East Coast, Nazis. And, heck, I mean, local police were looking for them, the feds were looking for them, and ultimately captured. But, I mean, this is back in the 1940s, early 40s. So think about that today with the open borders and about the in the context of how easy it would be travel-wise to get to America, to get to the United States.
Exactly.
In the prepositioning already of foreign troops in this country. So, you know,
Doug,
it would be,
you're not going to believe this. We're out of time.
No.
I mean, I lost total track of the time. I apologize for that. I was looking at my notes here, and I got so absorbed, but we're out of time. Doug Hagman, ladies and gentlemen, Hagman and Hagman Report, 7 to 10 p.m. right here on Global Star Radio Network, Monday through Friday. Doug, I'm sorry to have done that to you. What a great hour. I can't wait to get back together with you again. Wow.
Dave,
thanks,
thank you,
Doug,
so very much. God bless.
Okay, we'll be back in hour number two, everybody, with my good friend Bob Griswold.